The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Clipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Clipp.
Hi, people. Welcome back. The show today is about money. Money as the root of all things. Years ago, I worked for and eventually became the half owner of the largest commercial architecture firm in Durham, North Carolina. I know it doesn't sound like much. But while there, I was involved in a number of real estate investment development projects and worked on them as everything came to really analyze and understand them. And I came to realize that the only part of the investment that really mattered was the money. And that in truth, real estate investment is about money. Everything else is just a methodology for getting to the money. An interesting side point on that is that architects typically make terrible real estate developers. And for, you know, kind of what you would expect. An architect, you know, we tend to think that good design matters, that creativity matters, and that doing something for the good of the community matters. Well, the truth is, if it doesn't make money, it's a failure. And, you know, we can do a development. It looks great. It wins awards. It gets published. But if it doesn't make money, then you, the investor, have lost your nest egg and you're out of business. Now, we all know that, or we've all heard over and over again, the biggest investment most families will make, the biggest asset that most families have, is their home. When you think about it, the conceptual sense, every one of us who buys a home is a real estate investor. And every one of us who builds a home is a real estate developer. So when you look back through history, as real estate investors, homeowners have a history of significant winners. You hear a lot about, especially kind of the generation that's retiring now, you hear about couples who say have never made over $60,000 a year in their life. However, they bought a home, lived in it for 20, 30 years, paid off the mortgage. Now, when they're getting ready to retire, they have a $500,000 investment. And, you know, even more than that, today we have this thing called reverse mortgages where, it really is an investment. And you can actually, there's a methodology to take the money back out when you need it in retirement. So, and tapping that investment to fund the retirement. But as I said too, every person and every family who builds a house then is a real estate developer. And same as talked about the commercial real estate developer and the ones I used to work with, the same rules apply. On a base level, it is the money. And so, sorry, I'm kind of jumping back and forth, but ideally, when you're developing a property, that your home, you know, ideally, it should be worth more than what you put into it. And this is, well, sorry, I'm getting lost and sidetracked. But this is part of the dream home goal, is to win at the money game. And here's a question. This is a question that has puzzled me. I keep trying to figure it out and keep being astonished when I see it. Question is, if your home is your biggest investment, and if it means so much to your future wealth, then why are so many people so bad at that investment? More than any other investment that I've seen, people seem to make unwise moves and, you know, not pay attention to the money aspect. Well, why are so many people so bad at it? One, we don't want to think about the money. You know, some of it is, especially if you're doing a dream home, we want to splurge. A lot of the dream home clients that I see, they can afford it. They've made a lot of money. They can afford to spend it. And I've even seen this mentality that if you have to ask how much it costs, then you shouldn't be there. You shouldn't be in the store. Second, past not wanting to think about the money, is it's much more fun to talk about design and colors and materials. These are the things you want to do, and these are the things you want to get lost in. So we do that instead of addressing the money. And then third is the idea that I am achieving my dream, and that my statement, my dream home, is more important than watching the pennies. And I have to admit that I'm guilty of the same thing. When my wife and I were building our dream home up in Blowing Rock, and this is really the culmination of everything everything I've learned, and also just no holds barred, the best I can do it. We spent about twice as much money as we originally set out to spend. And, you know, it turned out great. But even I, when it came down to it, and it was my dream home, kind of ignored the money aspect. Not completely, because you can't completely, but psychologically, we want to talk about and think about any part of the creating our dream home other than the money. Finally, there's a psychological aspect to the home as an investment that is different from any other investment. And it's two sides of the same coin. With the home, you don't find out what it's really worth until you go to resell it. So whatever you spend on it is what you think it should be worth and what in your mind you think it's worth. But you don't know how much it's really worth until you put it on the market in competition with other homes and you see what it sells for. Clearly, like any investment, supply and demand has something to do with it. Right now, especially in high-end homes, we've got a lot of supply of high-end homes and small demand, which means they're going to be worth less if you had to sell them today. So that's one part of the coin, is we don't know whether what we spent on our home matches up with what it's worth until we go to sell. The other side is even if you overspend on your home, you're not cashing it out right away. You know, you don't expect to cash it out for 5, 10, 20 years. And even if you overspent on it and you feel it's worth less than what you spent, than what you paid for it, inflation will fix it. Typically, houses go up by 5% a year, which means that if all you do is sit around for 5 years, okay, you paid 25% more to build your house than what it's worth on the market today. Well, in 5 years, it'll be worth what you paid for it. And that's comforting to people, even though if you looked at any other investment, if you looked at Exxon stock and you bought it today for $125,000, the next day you look at you're reading the paper and it's dropped to 100,000, you'd be devastated. You just lost 25%. Now, you wait 5 years and it goes back up and you sell it and you break even. On your Exxon stock, you look at that and you say, that's terrible to hold it for 5 years and only break even. On our houses, we're far more okay with that. So those two things work together to kind of conceal our concern about the real value of the investment that we're making. And as I alluded to earlier, the biggest roadblock to the monetary success of your investment of your home is emotional. This is my home. I don't want to think about it in cold money terms. It's my house and I love it. And especially if it's your dream home, it's your dream and it's yours. You created it and you love it. So, like I said, and then combined with that is the idea that as long as you're not selling, you don't have to find out whether it really was a good investment. And, as long as the market is going up, you feel safe whatever you spent. When we come back from the break, I'll get into the four questions that I asked on the promo for this show. And we'll talk about how to do a better job of watching the money on your investment.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com. Come back to your senses. Imagine a radio show that will help you recover your common sense. Host Leah Brenda Smith is a health and wellness specialist who will explain techniques designed to help you recover from the stress of your life. It's all about how you respond to your thoughts. A little bit of self-awareness can go a long way in helping you to relax and enjoy your life. Tune in to Come Back to Your Senses Radio, live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Want to hear about what's going on in the world of fashion, beauty, gossip, and politics? Then you'll want to tune in every Wednesday to the Voice America Variety Channel. Face Forward with entrepreneur and beauty consultant Sarah McNamara is honest talk, great guests, and a cool vibe with a lot of fun.
Sarah and her guy Friday, Anthony, will turn you on to what's hot and what's not. This is a radio show custom made for you. Tune in to Face Forward, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. in the East, 11 a.m. in the West on Voice America Variety.
Are you ready to change your relationships, your business, your body, and your life? You'll want to tune in to Transformation Talk Radio with host Tony Litster. It's an inspiring hour of conversation, special guests, and wisdom that has made Tony an expert with personal life experience. His down-to-earth style will give you the keys to unlock your greatest potential. Listen for Transformation Talk Radio live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Listening can truly change your life.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Hi, people. I posed four questions for this show, four money questions. One, how do you achieve your dream home when you have no money? Two, how do you make your money go further? Three, how do you spend wisely? And four, how to keep from overspending? And for right now, just because I feel like I'm going to skip the first one. It gets kind of esoteric. Second question is, how do you make your money go further? First, when you're buying a home. When you're buying a home, first, you investigate. Second, you negotiate. If you think about it, if you're buying, most of us, when we're going to buy a car, we'll research the heck out of it. We'll research what it's supposed to cost, what the dealer paid for it, what are the options, what the comparable cars sell for, what is the resale value. We'll learn all about that car before we buy it. And we, as much as possible, about what's involved before we go and negotiate with the dealer. But we should do the same thing with the house. And just like with the car, we should push a hard line negotiating for the house. And it's amazing how much differential there is in what people pay for their houses. A lot of that is dependent upon knowledge. If you really understand the market, then you really understand what that house is worth relative to the other ones. If you really understand the market, then you understand what the climate is for houses, whether it's a buyer's market or a seller's market, what the desirability of that particular house is, and how far you can push it. Think about it. If you make $40,000 a year, and you're just really trying to break into the housing market, you make $40,000 a year. If you can achieve, through strong negotiation and knowledge, a $10,000 reduction in what you pay for your house, that's equal to 3 months' salary. Actually, that's equal to having saved 3 months' salary. Because remember, what you sell a house for when you get ready to sell it has no true relationship with what you bought it for. And if you overpaid for the house when you bought it, nobody is obligated to overpay you when they buy it from you. Likewise, one of the, I told you, understanding the real estate development is it's all about money. Understanding whether you make money or lose money on a house or any real estate investment, but on a house is when you buy it. When you buy the investment is when truly you either made money or lost it. Now you're just marking time until you sell it and see how much you made or lost. Okay. The other thing, you know, when you're investigating and then negotiating for the purchase of a house is investigating and negotiating your loan. And just simply beating the bushes, looking around for the best deal can mean thousands of dollars. A half percent difference in your loan rate, your interest rate, will mean on a $100,000 loan, it means $500 a year. Every year. So investigating and understanding the loan process. And one of the striking things about this whole mortgage loan debacle that we got into was that the high interest loans for people who don't qualify for the regular loans, about 25% of the people who were put into those high risk loan pools actually qualified for a regular loan. But they didn't have the knowledge to know that they qualified for it. And they were steered into the higher interest rate, higher risk loans by loan officers who made more money that way. So knowledge is the key to getting a good deal. Now, okay, how do you make your money go further once you've bought the home? And for the most part, especially when you're starting out, you buy a home and then you start thinking about how to make it into your dream home. The first way, how do you make your money go further? Well, the first and most straightforward way is do it yourself. Anything you do yourself, you get a significant discount on. I like to use the example of painting a room. If you hire a contractor, a painter to paint your room, it's $300. If you do it yourself, it's $60 and 8 hours of work. So how do you make your money go further? The first way is simply you do it yourself. If you act as your own yard man and clean things up, you're making your money go further. You're not spending it having someone else do the task. Notch it up a step. There are plenty of us who don't have the skills or the desire to do a very involved job. But the next step up is to be your own contractor. If you're your own contractor, you can get workers to do the work, and especially the work that you can't do, such as plumbing or electrical work, definitely sheetrock. Never do your own sheetrock. But if you act as your own contractor, you can save between 15 and 25% of the cost of the work. A bath renovation that would cost $20,000, acting as your own contractor, you're likely to get it done for $15,000. And again, if you make $40,000 a year, $5,000 is what? Over a month's, almost a month and a half pay. So if you do act as your own contractor and combine it with do it yourself, you save a bunch of money. You can save a bunch of money. And then how do you make your money go further for any other work? Get three prices. You know, never if you have a tree taken down, don't get one price, get three prices. And look for unusual sources, such as, I know my daughter, in doing the work on her house, she used Craigslist a lot. Get referrals from friends. I don't advise using close friends for work because the friendship gets in the way of the business relationship. So be very careful using close friends for work. But get three prices for all work. And the other thing is to be very careful to check insurance. Make sure they've got insurance for their work. And just a couple of simple things. You know, like, be very wary. One thing about having a contractor there, and the contractor doing it, is he's dealt with this for years. He knows whether someone's on the up and up or whether they're trying to scam him. He knows whether they performed the work properly. If you're the contractor, you've got to look out for yourself on that. So, and these are in my, you know, my warning section. First of all, don't pay for work in advance. You should never pay more than 10% in advance of having the worker show up and start work. Don't pay more than 50% unless there's at least 50% of the work done, and never pay the final amount until you're sure all of the work is done. So never pay in advance of it. And be very wary about increasing services. There's a scam this week here in the Chapel Hill area where two guys came around and offered to clean gutters for a really good price. While they're up there, they took a hammer and knocked a hole in the roof and said, oh, by the way, you've got this hole in your roof, and for $500, we can repair it. So acting as your own contractor, you know, just make sure they have insurance. Make sure they perform the work, and the work is completed. More work is completed than you paid them for until the end. And be very wary about increasing their services after they've started work, because almost always you pay more money for that, and quite often it's essentially a scam. So when we come back, we'll talk about how to spend money wisely.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk. Yeah! If you'd like to talk, call us toll free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com. Tune into Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's. We're a show all about wine, spirits, and other beverages. Your host, Kimber Stonehouse, is a professional expert and wine enthusiast. Each week, we'll focus on a different region of the world, discuss wines and other beverages, talk about some of the top restaurants in the region, and what to pair with which wine. Just listening could make you almost an expert. Around the World in a Glass is heard live every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Are you struggling to find hope in the middle of adversity? How confident are you in dealing with your life challenges? Do you realize you have the ability to overcome your obstacles? You'll want to tune in to Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities. Louise will speak to inspiring guests who have helped others or managed to overcome the roadblocks that stood in the way of their life success. Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities broadcasts live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Think of the world 50 years ago.
Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America. The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Hi. I do these talks, and one of these days I actually get some guests on. But I find that when I meet with people, and this morning I met with a couple who were looking at building their dream home and getting one of the major national builders to build it for them. So we talked about various aspects and things they could change about the house and make it into just a better house. And constantly I find myself referring back to said, we're talking about the screen porch. Well, I did a show on screen porches. And rather than listen to me now at $100 an hour, go listen to the show. Or I did a show about kitchens. And, you know, what is right or what is wrong about the kitchen that's in this national builder home. And there were plenty of things wrong with it. So this is really kind of an extension of my work as an architect and reaching a wider audience for things you should think about when you do your dream home and things to make you a winner. Well, okay, one thing that definitely helps make you a winner is how do you spend money wisely on your dream home? Frankly, I could just simply do this whole show ranting about the dumb moves that I see every single day. Actually, I'll start off with one. Why not? Just around the corner from me, there's a couple doing a horrendously expensive $700,000 renovation on their house and doing a whole bunch of things, taking two efforts to gain one result and just doing everything in a more cost expensive way possibly than it needs to be to achieve the goal. But they're going to spend $700,000 and their property is going to increase in value by half that. This is the kind of dumb thing that I see every day go on in the world of custom homes. Okay. I keep coming back to the same thing. Knowledge is power. If you want to spend wisely, get knowledge. One way to get knowledge is, frankly, I'm preening a bit. Listen to me. You know, go to good sources and listen to what they have to say and pick up knowledge from them. So you can pick up knowledge yourself or you can hire knowledge. I did a show on why use an architect. In that sense, an architect is hired knowledge. And an architect who cares about money and who pays attention to the money, the business aspects of creating your dream home can save you a lot of money. In fact, it can save you a tremendous amount of money relative to what you would spend without his knowledge. On the other hand, there are plenty of architects out there, and in fact, this is why architects have a bad reputation. There are plenty of architects out there who, just like owners, love to talk about design, love to talk about colors and feelings, and really don't want to talk about money. The architect who doesn't want to talk about money and doesn't look out for your interest in the business aspects and the money aspects, well, first of all, the job can get out of control very quickly. But instead of the architect who gives their knowledge to help you spend more wisely, the architect who ignores it, in essence, creates a carte blanche atmosphere that spends more money. So instead of saying a 5% savings, you can easily find yourself in the 20% extra spending category. Gets even worse, though, when you're talking about residential designers. Difference being, residential designers, an architect is licensed. An architect cannot financially benefit from side deals, and a residential designer can. So, and this is just getting off on the side thing, but the residential designer, you know, has no obligation to look out for your interest and doesn't. The architect has a licensed obligation to look out for your interest and does. And so knowledge is power. By the same token, the architect is your advocate, your knowledge base. The contractor is not. I did a show about contractors and how to pick one, how to pick a good one. Remember, a contractor works in his own interest. He does not work in your interest. A contractor will pretty much never save you money. He really has no incentive to save you money. He has no incentive to shop wisely for products. And he has no incentive to spend his time and effort to get you a lower cost. Because most of the time, that means he makes less money. So when you're talking about spending money wisely, one of the dumbest moves, not dumbest, one of the least wise moves you can make is to hire the contractor and hand the job to him. Here's one thing I realized, even in doing my own dream home up in Blowing Rock. Anything you shop for yourself, you save money on. If you go out and you want really nice doors in your house, if you tell the contractor, I want really nice solid wood doors in my house, he'll go to his supplier and they'll purchase the doors at full price. Say $700 a door is my experience. I'll go online, I'll go beat the bushes, or I've had a couple of clients here, even more successful than me, will go and beat the bushes, and they've gotten the price down as low as $250 a door for beautiful, solid, custom mahogany doors. It's just an example where the owner, working in their own interest, can get a much better price than the contractor, who's just spending the owner's money. The other thing with shopping around for things is that, first of all, it takes work. But, you know, in essence, you're getting paid for that work. The other thing is you have to accept some risk. best example of that is you buy your own plumbing fixtures. Usually you can buy them for a better price than in the end you pay through the contractor and the plumber. However, the plumber doesn't take any responsibility for them. So if you've got a cracked toilet or, you know, a bad faucet, he says, sorry, that's not my responsibility. You purchased it. It's your responsibility. So you have to, you know, along with saving money by doing it yourself, shopping for your own things, you accept some risk. The other things with spending wisely is across the board, get three prices. If you get competitive pricing from qualified contractors from qualified subs, you will get a better price. And if you, you know, the roofing on the house, if you get three prices on the roof from qualified, experienced roofers, there'll be a difference between them, and most likely the one that you take is lower than what you would have taken if the contractor had just simply asked one guy to put the roof on and charge him whatever it cost. So, spending wisely, get three prices and then fix the price before the work. The only time you get a good deal on pricing is if you fix the price before the work starts. An interesting thing there is that, you know, even if you want a certain craftsman to do your work, if you say, I really have to want Joe to do this because he is so good, if you get three competing prices, it will encourage Joe, the guy you want, to give you his best price. Not his full price, but his best price. And quite often, in fact, I ran through one streak where everybody was taking the highest price of the three and for because what they felt was the highest craftsmanship. And even at that point, they were getting it at a better price, a lower cost, than if they just simply said to Joe, Joe, I love your work. You've got the job. One final thing there is that if Joe won't compete and just says, hey, my work is so good, I've got plenty of work, I don't need to compete with these other guys for the job, well, then you always have the choice of saying, you know, Joe will charge me 25% more for it, but it's worth it to me. And go ahead with him. The other guys, what I've found is that what you pay for work quite often is only marginally related to the quality of work you get. And sometimes the highest price guy is the worst quality. So you look for both. You know, I can rant about this even more. There was a couple last week, just before we go to break, who said, no, I don't want to get three prices from the contractors. We want to pick one contractor up front and just give him the job. Well, that probably cost him $100,000 on their house. Not because, and that's what happens when you don't spend wisely. Come back and we'll talk about how not to overpay.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
Stock prices plunging, home prices receding, and unemployment growing.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth.
Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Tune into a program that's all about empowerment and human potential. It's all about navigating your life. In fact, that is the name of the program. Tune in every Monday morning for the Navigating Your Life show with host Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. Each week we'll discuss a range of topics to help you with the challenges facing us every day. The information given can be implemented immediately and may change your life forever. The Navigating Your Life show is broadcast live Mondays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Voice America Variety Channel presents a program like no other for those in the field and interested in the field of security and training. On America's front lines of crime and war with Victory Defense Consulting, hosted by J.J. Sutton. Here, listeners are learning about tactical skills and practices that support efficient, smarter, and more enduring skills. You will receive the most up-to-date information about the security and training industry with detailed discussions and select special guests each week. Tune in to On America's Front Lines of Crime and War, Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Clipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Thus, we arrive at the question, how to keep from overspending? Again, knowledge is power. The truth is, most custom homes cost more to build than you could immediately turn around and sell them for. Part of that is, to keep from doing that is you have to buy the land at the right price. Then you have to purchase the construction at a good price. And also, intrinsically, custom home owners, when you're doing your dream home, you're willing to pay for custom details, custom features that are, much better and more expensive than the market is willing to reimburse you for. So for these three reasons, and each one of them, you can affect with your judgment. The price of the land, you can't really. It is what it is. And the market, because it's a resale market, for the most part, keeps prices of land within the right range. You look at, a property, the market has said what it's worth. The cost of the construction, as you've heard already in here, is for the same stuff, for the same windows and doors and roof. You can pay market, you can pay 10 or even 15% below market, and you can easily pay 25% above market. Quite often in custom building, in dream homes, people have the money and they want to feel as though they're buying the best. Buying the best to them is paying for the most expensive contractor. And even then, it could be okay if you competitively get him to give you his best price up front and stick with it. If you just simply hand him the job and say, oh, you're the best contractor, please build my house and charge me whatever it costs, then you're an open checkbook that's going to spend 25% or more greater than you could have gotten that work done for. So how to keep from overspending? Well, you have to pay attention to it. And as I said, we often excuse our overspending on our custom home, in part because it's our dream home. And yes, I know the $50,000 marble floor in the foyer I'm not going to get my money back for, but I really want that $50,000 marble floor. Or I really want those $20,000 closet inserts. And we recognize that we're not going to get our money back on that. With the caveat or the exception that there's inflation going on. And if the house value of the house rises by 5% a year, even if we overspent by 25%, what the market would pay for, well, in 5 years we'll get back to even. So we don't feel that badly about that spending. And it's interesting that most of us don't look at other investments the same way. If we're looking at buying Exxon stock, then we care what the price is today and we care what the price is tomorrow. And we are really hoping that it will rise in the next 5 years instead of getting us back to even. If we really look at buying an investment building, real estate, then we really care about getting it for a good price and not paying more than we should for that investment. On the house, a lot of time we just ignore that. How do you keep from overspending? First, you make a good guess of what your home will be worth when you're finished. Before you decide to do your custom home, you really shopped around. You looked at 10 houses, 100 houses. You know, so you've got some understanding of the market that you're building in which you're building. And so you've got some understanding of what your house will be worth in the market competing with those other houses when you're finished. Set that number as your target. If I really want to do this wisely, I won't spend more than what my house will be worth. And then work to make that work. Running out of time, so before I close, this weekend up in Blowing Rock is just a tremendous festival, homes tour, Symphony on the Lake, the Hunter and Jumper show. And so my talk next week will be about the glories of, you know, living in a resort and the fantastic values there are right now in buying resort property. Let me go back and tell you one more story that really kind of amazed me. I'm working with a couple right now. And they have limited means, and they bought for their retirement home a 150-year-old house with a barn behind it. They went to the master bath in the house is awful, terrible. You can barely use it. They want to replace that. They want to turn the barn into an art studio, complete with heating and air conditioning and a bathroom. So they need to do this on a limited budget, which I think, though, is a valid, legitimate budget. Well, okay, the work is really messy and it's hard to price. So it's the type of work that even though I advocate getting competitive prices for things, it's the type of work that I could actually see giving to some contractor to do. And I've got know of contractors I've worked with over the years who have proven to be good guys. and, you know, that are reasonable in their costs, and you actually, because of their own internal makeup, actually care about the owners and tend to look out for them. So on this job, though, because, you know, work is a little bit scarce, I still put it out to bid and to that good guy I talked about, plus a couple of others. Good guy came in about 20% higher than what I would expect. Well, the result is that you never know until you price something who's out there and how good of a deal you can get. So I was just amazed, though, at this time how good of a deal we got by competitively pricing it and looking around rather than just handing it to one person. Even on a messy job that I would tend to do to hand to one person. Again, thank you, and I hope you listen next week.
Thanks again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.